Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, it is now or never. I'm just going to come out swinging here. First off, let me just get through some of these obligatories. As you know, I am your humble servant, and I don't know if we really kind of covered a lot of the details of what I've been doing and so forth, but we did cover that message to Marjorie Greene last week, and we're going to cover a message to the Idaho voters. If you want to actually help, because I'm involved in the Idaho election, just due to the fact that we're that close. And same thing with the Wyoming, the South Dakota, the red states that we're working in. We are actually getting involved in those elections. We're interviewing those folks, and we want to talk to your candidates. We want to talk to you because we believe you would make a great candidate as long as you're willing to, you know, commit. I mean, strongly commit. I mean, commit to a point where you're willing to actually resign your post as public servant if you can't fulfill your oath of office to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. I mean, fundamentally, every citizen of the United States should do that, or they don't deserve to be a citizen. So, I mean, for years, for centuries, we really didn't need to look over our shoulders and to act as warriors for the Constitution. But we took for granted, we allowed nefarious or pernicious people in public service to actually, you know, establish themselves so that they could start literally driving this nation down this terrible path of tyranny. Anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. We've gotten a lot of people that have come back and said, hey, we have subscribed. And as a matter of fact, I think that's great. I think we're starting to ring their bell, and we're getting people to start getting that subscription counter up. And so what we hope to do is I'd love to see this thing actually start really taking off. I mean, wouldn't that be an indictment towards all the news media and so forth? You know, we don't want news to pander to us. We need news to actually give us the harsh reality of what's right and what's wrong. And when we talk about what's right and what's wrong, not based on some subjective perspective of whether that's your version of Christianity, your version of some ideology. We want things focused on the law, the supreme law, and not how you would interpret, but how the framers actually defined it. Folks, we've got all of this to our, you know, act. We have access to all of this to our availability. You just have to go and get it, to go and read it. Or you just have to listen to this show because we actually cover that content. We're going to be getting into some of the curriculum, such as the Madison's essay on property. But more importantly, what we need to do is we need to kind of start off with what I will say and refer to is the ratification debates. So the ratification debates will be coming very quickly down this path. Now, what we would hope that you would start helping other people understand the magnitude and the importance. When we cover this kind of content, you can't get this anywhere else. It's like reading a book that you need to read that you just don't have time. We're going to read it for you. And that way you don't take our word for what it says. You're actually going to hear what Governor Randolph, what Mr. Wilson of Pennsylvania, what Mr. Hancock and Samuel Adams said up in Massachusetts, as well as Stilwell, as well as Iredell, as well as Madison, so forth and so on. These were the men that provided the clarification to what the Constitution means, what each line in that Constitution meant, as it was debated and as the anti-Federalists made wild, crazy accusations and assertions that, you know, this this Constitution was going to allow the government to do this, that, or the other thing. You got to remember that everything that is being done today has nothing to do with how the Constitution was described. It is literally, they're making it up as they go along, and a lot of stuff they got from the Anti-Federalists, literally. You'd think that they were following the Anti-Federalist guide. Why? Because the Anti-Federalists were trying, not that they were trying to, you know, subvert the Constitution afterwards. They were trying to ensure the people were scared enough to, that they didn't buy into this so that they could protect their little cabals within their states. And the reality is, people woke up, they smelt the roses, they smelt the flowers, they smelt the coffee, whatever it is that they smell, and they said, you know what, we accept the Constitution as the way the Federalists are describing it, because we're reading this, and we're not seeing how, you know, these wild assertions can even come to be. Well, they came to be because we became complacent in understanding that and in understanding how they sold it. This is why we have to go through these discussions on what the Constitution means and not what the Federalist Papers or what some judge says. Those may be insightful, but they're not accurate. They're not legally binding. The ratification debates are legally binding. So anyway, Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, get your subscription. Now, we also want to do a couple of promos here. We want to basically get you to actually tune into your finances or tune your finances by going to Fortitude Financial Coaching and reach out to Gary Smith and let him help you become the disciplined success that you need to be. I also want you to consider reaching out to Stan Kluett out in radiodustcovers.com/ville and consider protecting some of those things that you really, because everybody's got something they need to protect. And the radio dust covers, the dust covers that can actually cover almost anything. For the most part, everything he does is custom, and he has the ability to look up the, you know, the diagrams if you don't know, or if, you know, because he could just look up the manufacturer's specifications, what have you. So by all means, if it's worth the money that you paid for it, it's probably worth protecting, right? All right. So as we move forward, what we kind of want to do is, and as I said, I could really go down this path of talking to you about a lot of different things, but what we want to do is we want to do a wrap-up on the constitutional counties and these unorganized militias that you need to create. But more importantly, let's kind of look at the macro view of the purpose of this show and what we're trying to get you to start thinking, or how we want you to think. We want you to think upstream versus downstream. We want you to actually, when you see something, you want to look and see, is this the symptom of a problem, or is this actually the problem? Because 9 times out of 10, when you see something, when we're talking about something in the, like the cost of gas is not the problem. What is causing the problem? It is a symptom. So we have to look at what upstream, what is causing this to make the cost of gas is what it is. So this is why looking upstream is how we solve problems. Looking upstream, we start understanding, whoa, it's not just because Biden's president, it's because of all the different policies, it's because the oligarchies, all of this dependence, all of this other control. I mean, Biden didn't create this stupidity of green and climate change. He's just the next monkey dancing to the organ grinder, the globalist organ grinders, to move this agenda forward so that they can control you. So anyway, what we want to actually drill into some of these things, but more importantly, I also need to let you know that we've got some articles that are coming that are long overdue. It takes me a while to get these done just because I'm way too busy, but that's a blessing and an opportunity. Opportunity for you to help if you want to, and an opportunity for, you know, others to, you know, learn and those types of things, but it's a blessing because it is truly a service. I love the fact that I can actually do things to help you either understand, to help motivate you, or to help other people help you or what have you? I mean, if you really start considering, you know, the, I'll just call them the interconnections, the, you know, it's like the domino theory. Once you start, you know, going, if you start on one very specific path, and there's this chain, and somebody can actually tell me what it is. My father used to send me these elaborate videos that would have a chain reaction, kind of like dominoes or what have you, where you knock one thing and it releases a ball. There's a name for that. And so that is a planned thing that happens. Now, there are things that have been put in place that when a certain type of event occurs, it actually creates this chain reaction. And I'm here to tell you that we're witnessing a lot of things that have been orchestrated, just like this invasion on our southern border. That has been orchestrated, and sadly, it's been orchestrated, as I've told you, by those pernicious people who were public servants in America. We've actually got people committing treason and actually insurrection against our own Constitution by doing this crap. So anyway, what we want to do is kind of go through. So some of the articles we have is the First Amendment petition article that we're working on. We're also working on outlining what it takes to create the constitutional counties, what we're kind of covering right now in content. And the other article that we've kind of been working on is how Reclaiming the Republic can support you, because we've been talking about monetizing Reclaiming the Republic for a little while now. And so we want to kind of put that into kind of an article or something that you can sink your teeth into. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so why am I going to poke my nose into this Idaho election warning? Because I want people to start understanding how important it is that we start actually vetting candidates, not based on conservative issues, because that's what's been causing the problem the entire time. Because as long as you put it onto conservative issues, most of those issues have nothing to do with the Constitution, which gives them all sorts of latitude and what we'll call, you know, the ability to weasel around in making decisions. Oh, well, you know, this is why when you look at conservative, you know, what we call rankings or how people gauge on the, you know,
is this person really conservative? As a matter of fact, I will show you that you can find in the state legislature or other people in government that have a 100% or a, you know, almost 100% rating on being conservative. And yet they're still voting for budgets that are accepting federal dollars for unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government has no business spending that money on. So how is it that these people are constitutional? You understand, we have to place context to our candidates and to our public servants. And the context isn't, you know, they don't take an oath to say, I will support conservatism or I will support the Republican platform. They take an oath legally. They have to take an oath to support the Constitution. So there's your disconnect. And this is why this is so important, because really the only person that I have talked to, which is basically Art Macumber, I mean, I've kind of exchanged and I've gotten a little bit of nibbles from, you know, like Janice McGreechan and Priscilla Giddings, but they don't want to really talk to me. There's a lot of people out there. I've reached out and tried to talk to Ammon Bundy. I think he's too busy being the victim in Idaho and everywhere he goes, instead of actually, you know, talking about leading on the Constitution and actually trying to become a constitutional governor. Because that's what we need in states for a governor position or lieutenant governor or what have you. This is why it's so important to talk about Art's case as the attorney general in running for attorney general in Idaho. So I can't emphasize this enough. I'm going to harp on this, but I hope to actually go into details of why this is so important on Wednesday. All right, so that's it. The ranting and all of this side stuff, obligatories and so forth, we're done. Now what we want to do is we want to actually cover these unorganized militia executive committees, because it's important that we understand how and why we have these committees. And technically, if you really look at government and the different, you know, little fingers that they've gotten themselves involved in, right? They've got themselves involved in so many different things that it's incredible, right? Like energy, education, healthcare. The federal government has no constitutional standing to be involved in that. Housing? Come on. Is your state supposed to start creating housing? Are they obligated to provide you a house and everybody a house? No. As a matter of fact, they need to completely get out of housing. As a matter of fact, here's the terrible thing. As much as we love our kids and as much as we understand the importance of, you know, basic laws and people being good parents and having good families and so forth, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There's a lot of subjectivity that we have here, folks. And do not think that just because your great-great-grandparents lived in a single-room cabin or people around the world live in austere conditions, it doesn't mean that you can't have a good family. Where are we as a society when we dictate that you have to have one person per room? Are you going to start providing that? You can't. You shouldn't. What we need to be doing is to make sure that the parents are providing what they should. But we start going down a very dangerous road when government starts getting involved, because then government actually starts basically dictating ideological perspectives where they shouldn't. We need, this is why housing and community and involvement with family, all of those types of things is really a compassionate service job. This is why religious organizations, religious entities, and community organizations need to actually pick up the ball here and go back to actually teaching and helping people actually try to improve their society. I mean, there's nothing wrong with starting off and having a single room cabin. But down the road, as you, you know, make more money, you can do more, you can actually add a couple of rooms or sell that cabin and buy a house, a multi-roomed house with indoor plumbing. You see my point? We need to help through enlightenment. And enlightenment will only come when we create that symbiotic relationship with all of these other organizations. So these committees kind of need to be kind of manned and actually be involved, because government cannot be the single solution. If so, then we have to have a statist government. If we're to have a limited and defined government, then we need to start creating symbiosis between government and those, the people and the organizations or entities that belong in society, i.e. your church. See, as I was explaining to somebody, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the radio before, I probably have, but when we look at how we got into this mess with, you know, welfare, with education, housing, and all of these things, when we look at, excuse me, when we look at the churches and how they used to actually administer and kind of help, as a matter of fact, religiously, I mean, look at the Amish. When, you know, a young man and a woman are to get married, the community comes together, and that community is a religious, ideological community. They come together and they do a house raising or a barn raising. And they actually, you know, pull together and they build what is necessary, what they would think is the basic necessities for this new family. Isn't that great? But that's not because government dictated that. That becomes a societal thing. That becomes a community, societal community thing. There you go. And so as we look at these committees are really to start holding and pushing some of these things that government has really either no responsibility, or they should actually be owning and controlling this. Because like the press and the media committee, here is the reality. When you have a press that can get organized and become a manipulative propaganda mill, that is what will happen. And that's what we see today. We actually read about it in Plato's Republic, where this media, the press, these influential people actually start telling us how do we need to behave. Well, why? Especially when it comes down, I mean, it's one thing if it's based on your ideologies of scripture and your religion and so forth. And just because somebody's religion is different than yours, as long as their religion believes that everybody has a right to choose for themselves, to think for themselves, and to follow their conscience, and to make their own choices, and to be held accountable and responsible for those choices if they violate the law, harm others, and what have you. Remember, the law and government is really just supposed to be protecting life and property. That's it. And you should be free to be able to make your choices. But when your choice actually harms somebody's life or property, then you need to be held accountable. You need to be responsible for that and dragged into court and actually pursued based on, you know, the seeking of justice. Because society must have a means for justice. And as we look at these different committees, so this is why this next committee we want to talk about is common law and the legal committee. So we're going to actually, and I'm going to tell you now, I've actually worked it out. We'll be talking to Paul Nally, Judge Nally. I don't know what he goes by, what his title is. I definitely know he's a very educated, learned man, and he understands common law really well. And so actually, let me do this for you, because just recently, I actually communicated with him about coming onto the radio show. And he just responded, because one of the things I asked him was, is there a way that we can kind of come on, or yeah, I can bring him on to where we can kind of talk about a bullet point list of what it takes. So I just wanted to read his response. And he says, to answer my question, what will it take for a country to restore its common law courts and grand juries, is a simple answer: education. that this is the crux of the current problem, since the educational system of this nation and each state has performed a most significant job, or magnificent job, in educating this people to the maximum level of their acceptable ignorance. In other words, we've really moved in the opposite direction we need to go. That said, the underlying bullet points, which I was asking him for, because what does it take? You know, can we create these bullet points of what it takes to restore our common law courts? And he says, well, that's a bit numerous, especially if you start with a history of law going back to about 500 years before Christ. Of course, I don't tend to go that far back in history, since common law is, as we understand it, comes to the terms of about, you know, the Magna Carta and actually the Western society and so forth. Anyway, so we're working out a schedule, but I'll get back into this when we come back from the break. But I wanted to share specifically his perspective on education and so forth. And I kind of equate this to, there's two ways I believe that we have the ability to invoke change. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so what are these two, I'll just say, paths of change, or the, you know, if you want to call them catalysts? Actually, one's a catalyst and the other one's a path. And actually, I'm going to use biblical reference, not to be preaching, but to help you understand metaphorically what these two paths are. Now, the first path is what I would call the Mosaic path. When Israel was finally freed from Egypt, and Egypt had basically over centuries had indoctrinated and perverted the minds of the, you know, the chosen people. Well, when Moses left and took them on their way to the Promised Land, when they got to the edge of the Promised Land, getting ready to go in, and God basically said, go ahead, go in. And there was this apprehension. Then all of a sudden God said, nope, we're going to have you wander around for 40 years, because they didn't act upon the faith, because bottom line, or I should say, they lacked the faith to act upon the direction of God. And so it was more of a punishment
in that path or process. In other words, we have to go through this long, arduous process of learning. Now, I believe that that is an effective way to prepare a culture or to help change a culture. Now, some people say you can't change a culture overnight. You can't change a culture. It takes 40 years to change a culture. And now I'm going to give you an example of how you can actually change a culture overnight. And the fact is, if you understand Jonah and the whale and that story, well, Jonah, now I'm going to say this, and I usually get a couple giggles when I talk to people about this, because Jonah, when God told Jonah to go and tell what the Philistines or whoever it was, again, bad with names, whoever it was he told to go to tell them that they were going to be destroyed. Well, it was really important that, you know, let me put this into this perspective. He didn't just go. And as a matter of fact, had he just gone as a messenger from God, as a Jew, or from Israel, an Israelite, and he went to the people standing there as the mighty Philistines or whomever, and he goes to their gate and says, God's going to destroy you. They probably would have gone out there, accosted him, and actually probably killed him or something like that. They may not have listened. And the reason why God chose Jonah is because he knew Jonah understood and was a pragmatic person and that would likely run. And he knew how he would run. And so it was probably just as integral in what Jonah ended up doing in before he actually got to the gates of the Philistines. Because when you're in, and I don't understand the process. We don't have anybody to actually do this, but it would be good to see somebody actually getting into the belly of that whale, that big fish, before, you know, spitting him up, to see what the digestive process would have been doing to a person after 3 days. Maybe, you know, bleaching your hair, you know, bleaching all your, I mean, he probably looked either pale, colorless, or what have you. And so, because he was in the process of being digested by this whale, and the point is that when he was spit out, he wasn't just this clean person coming from Israel. He had been spit out of the well, so he was, you know, a little weathered for the time and didn't get a chance to necessarily go clean up and refresh and, you know, get some good clothes. No, he was kind of delivered right there at their feet and went up to the gates and delivered that message. So the presentation, not just the words of the presentation, but the visual presentation probably made the Philistines actually wonder or pause and go, this is pretty interesting here. Who is this guy? What the heck happened to him? And so my point is this, that when they saw this guy, and as a matter of fact, let me be clear, when we read about the last days, there will be two men in Israel preaching or what have you, right? And they talk about these two men will be killed and they'll be raised up in front of the people, witnessing and basically prophesying that, you know, Christ is coming. Christ will be coming. And so the point is that that's going to be a catalyst. When people will actually see dead men that have lied in the streets for days and then all of a sudden get up. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with Jonah actually appearing in front of these men, or in front of these people and telling them. We have the ability, but unfortunately, do you need that type of event for a catalyst? Do people, does society need that event? Because I'm telling you, we have had that event happen historically. We can apply faith and we can apply the lessons and actually the messages that there's no doubt in my mind. The Lord has been giving us messages that are telling us that we can do this. That we all we need to do is follow exactly what the framers had told us to do. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison did not sit down and write, you know, when things go really bad, because they weren't prophets. They weren't there to basically tell us what we needed to do. And as a matter of fact, it's almost like the scriptures don't even tell us what we need to do. Why is that? Why is it that the good Lord, the Creator, in organizing and then demanding that the scriptures be written for Moses and all of the prophets since, why is it that there was no, you know, right, here's the chapter of this is what you have to do, boom, 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 and everything will be okay? I'm telling you, folks, the reason why is because we have to seek for ourselves, one, what to do, how to do it, you know, knock and ask, and then we have to act upon faith. Now, if you can't refute what I'm saying, then maybe it would be wise to act upon faith and do what you need to do. Not necessarily what I'm telling you to do, but basically in line with what I am telling you is what the framers had done. And I believe if you can't refute it, then we should just start doing this. And there's no doubt in my mind, this is what we need to do. We need to create these constitutional counties. We need to start creating these we need to go back to common law courts and common law juries and so forth as a legal system. And so why is this important? Well, folks, there's no doubt in my mind that we have a just system under common law, that when the foundation of the law, God's law and nature's God, then when we start looking at that type of law and society, and we start looking at, you know, this involvement of both this, not your religion and doctrine, but the religious scriptures and the education and so forth, using grand juries and people in grand juries and having these things openly discussed, it makes it a lot simpler and a lot easier to actually recognize that we're being led, I'll just say righteously, we're being led the way we deserve to be led. And right now, because we have removed ourselves from the system and allowed them to do what they've listed upon us, what they have chosen to inflict upon us, then we get what we deserve today. You want to change that? You want to remove this yoke? You want to actually enjoy liberty again? You have to act. Like I always say, you're either a part of the solution or you are a part of the problem. And the only way you can become a part of the solution is by engaging in the actual solution. So what is the solution? I'm telling you what the solution is. And if you think differently, well, we've got that comment line, 425-270-5416. Just give us a call. You tell us what the solution is if I'm wrong. And so, you know, I'm wrong about lots of things, but when it comes down to these few little things regarding Republic Review, these constitutional counties, there's nobody, as a matter of fact, as I've sat down and discussed this with many organizations, almost all of us start agreeing, then all of a sudden they want to create their own little plan. And one of the things I've discovered is that most organizations, whether they want to create a pod, whether they want you to go out and, you know, spend money on naming yourselves as a constitutional county under this particular organizational name, you know what, folks? That's lipstick on a pig. That's all it is, because you're no more constitutional by, you know, paying some organization to actually declare that you're constitutional than you actually becoming a constitutional county. You want to become a constitutional county, you have to do it. This is why this is yours. You own this. Your name, the unorganized militia name, has to be your county name. You don't like your county name, change it. You don't like, you know, the title or the labels or how things look. Okay, their process is doing that. But when it comes down to actually who and what this organization is you and the entire county. That's it. There's no other way around this, folks. That means that's why you have to do this. This is why we're here to help you, not help ourselves so that you can pay us. We're actually looking to help pay you what you need so that you can move this forward, so that we don't have to pay you anymore, that you become self-sufficient. We'll be right back after these two promos.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so back to tying these, you know, metaphors and everything together, and back to what Judge Nally had basically told me, that we need to educate our way out of this, that, you know, our education system has created this terrible ignorance. Well, I believe that it doesn't take long, and as a matter of fact, I don't think that it's going to require 40 years of education to change our culture, to restore our courts. I believe that God's law hasn't changed. I believe that our Creator and His love for us hasn't changed. I believe that if we start acting and we actually start working in pulling our communities together and creating these constitutional counties by using these unorganized militias, there's no doubt in my mind, these, what we'll call common law courts, will become easily erected. I mean, we'll be able to stand these things up and get rid of these admiralty courts, or whatever you want to call them, that are currently operating today. That we don't need this elaborate legal system that the Bar Association, and if you think about it, you know, this legal system that is in violation of the 13th Amendment. And I'm not talking about the 13th Amendment you read in the organic Constitution today. I'm talking about the one that they tried to scrub out of, unconstitutionally scrub out of the Constitution. Go look at the Nobility Amendment, or the Nobility Amendment, I mean, and you'll actually read what and how they were protecting our legal system. Again, this goes to the divine hand of providence, once again, making sure that we had what we needed. And this goes to show how long and how deep the deep state has been operating. I'd like to find out the day and the people involved, but it doesn't matter. We already have hard evidence that that original 13th Amendment was ratified, and it was the law of the land in 1778. Yeah, it was 1778. Now, you know what? Forgive me. 1798, because it was before Wyoming became a state. So anyway, as we look at common law courts, I believe that there is some education, but I don't think it's insurmountable. I don't think we're that stupid. I don't think, not that we're not ignorant or illiterate on this, but I believe that we can actually work together. We can't, this cannot become a theocracy where one Christian church, one Protestant or one Catholic or any church becomes a dominant church. That we need to actually start forcing our, our churches to actually start working together as a community, putting aside their differences, just like the framers, and rebuilding the moral backbone. Because, and here's the problem that we face, and here's the reality, that when you start looking at these churches, and when we start looking at people who make money doing what they do, then all of a sudden their hands become tied, or they become, bound in, iron. They're bound in iron. They can't move because they need that money to survive. They don't have a profession to provide for their family, and so they have to maintain their relevance. And being divisive is a part of that process, or at least they believe that that's an important part of the process. This is where I really believe that we have to get back to those basics that were being exercised by the framers. Remember, the Second Awakening came in the 1820s, and this is when the America and our Constitution really was getting derailed. And this is when we started really going in a lot of wrong directions. 1820 itself was the Missouri Compromise. We saw the Missouri Compromise, an actual violent violation to the Constitution, actually get enacted. Are you kidding? So there were, even though we saw certain things that were being clung to, like not allowing Congress to create the footings for the Department of Transportation, I was going to say Treasury, for the Department of Transportation, even though we clearly saw, both Madison, Monroe, and even Jackson in 1830 hold the line to say, you can't do this. We started seeing them aggrandizing their roles by taking and trying to take away the rights of the states and the states' abilities to maintain, their course and direction. What do they call that? The self-determination of what a state is to be. This is why the self-determination of the northern states started moving away from slavery and becoming abolitionist states. And we've talked about this, but I'm going to bring it up because I think it goes hand in hand. I believe when Thomas Jefferson penned his amendment in 1803 to try to get permanent land for the federal government so that the federal government could preserve certain things for certain reasons, I believe that the divine hand of providence kept that amendment from actually growing legs and becoming a part of the Constitution. Because if you think about it today, where would we be if the federal government could actually possess land of its own desires? Well, then they would be doing exactly what they're doing today. But they don't have any constitutional standing to do this. So when we start really looking, and by looking at things at a macro view, things will make sense, my friends. They do make sense. It's really simple and clear to me. But maybe that's just because, I've been doing this for so long. Coming up on my 1,000th episode, by the way, in the next, probably the next month or two, I think I'll be hitting 1,000. So as we get closer, I will let you know when that day will be. Anyway, just in case you want to, commemorate my 1,000th episode, because supposedly that's a big hallmark for, a radio show host or what have you. Back to Common Law and Legal Committee, this Common Law Legal Committee. It is important that we have this committee. Now, the next two committees, obviously, you can read these yourself, but it's Community Watch / Security. Even though we have a sheriff, even though we have, law enforcement, we actually have an obligation, and we've lost our communities because we're no longer involved at the community level. Now, some people live in homeowners associations, and they're kind of cliquish or what have you. But that's only because they're trying to control us instead of actually just kind of working together and talking about, because you know what? Even though somebody may move into the community that you may perceive as a threat, such as a Mohammedan, you know, you live in a Christian community and you see a Mohammedan, because there is empirical data that will prove that a Mohammedan, you know, is a threat to your community, because they're going to try to subjugate your community and businesses from being able to sell pork and being able to inflict their paradigms and their ideologies upon you, because that is their, that's their doctrine. I mean, that's what they have to do, because that's how they're being good Mohammedans. This is why they were, and this is why Thomas Jefferson and the framers clearly looked at Mohammedans and saying, there's no way they could ever be a partaker in liberty in these United States. This is why they were banned. Yes, they were banned for well over a century in America from being able to become citizens or even being able to do anything but come here in emissary duties or visiting or what have you. They could not immigrate here to become citizens. They were banned, okay? So this community watch is basically to help, you know, people have these dialogues so that we could understand the changes, developments. I mean, when a developer comes in and says, we want to develop, you know, change for change's sake can be dangerous. But bottom line, it's not for me to tell you what to do and how to do things. The best course of action for every community is to openly talk about what the issues are. This community watch goes far greater than just being a security system or, you know, security apparatus. That, you know, why are these people, you know, walking down the street at 3 a.m? It goes a lot farther. It goes into the projections, because when developments come, when Walmart comes, when some of these institutions start coming, what does it mean and what are they going to do? You have a right. You have a right to protect yourselves from, you know, institutions and organizations. Now, you can't necessarily, in some cases, you can't actually keep somebody from actually moving there or what have you, but you don't have to let them get a foothold. If Walmart comes, you don't have to go shopping. What would happen to Walmart if they were operating for a year with not one sale? They probably wouldn't operate that store anymore. Well, that's, you know, Walmart basically played against your businesses because you looked at your local businesses and, oh, you just want to sell us expensive stuff. No. No, but there's a cost of how and the services. There's all sorts of very important information that you have to discuss so that you understand the consequences of getting rid of these local businesses by allowing Walmart to come in, or supporting these local businesses and letting Walmart come in and fail. But these are your decisions. This is your county. I'm not here as your king. And nobody should be acting as a monarch in each of these counties. This is a body of the community and a body of the people. Organize your unorganized militia and you will start flexing power that you could not imagine. Anyway, as we can tell, we're out of time for today's show. We'll tap on the health committee that will get into some of these roles and responsibilities of how these committees can act and so forth. And then we'll move into the Idaho election race. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort.
We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.